Hey, you guys, I'm back. And I got to be honest with you. This week has been one of those weeks where so many different things coming at you and you're wondering what's next, right? And it seems like every week is like that. And somebody joked about 2020 being like Jumanji, like the next thing is worse than the next thing. And I don't know that it's like that. I've seen some really cool things. People having babies, my daughter getting married, just some really, really cool things. And a friend of mine coming closer and closer to Jesus through one of the most difficult things ever in his whole entire life. But man, this week, it's been rough. And even thinking about the people that are not watching this broadcast that we do, it's just like, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? How are we doing things? And how are we reaching people missionally with the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, I want to thank you for joining us. If you're still here, if you're beyond the 2 minutes that the average person who's watching this is watching, if you've gone beyond that, thank you. Jesus loves you. He loves you whether you're 2 minutes or 20 minutes or 2 hours. But we're going to get together today again to look at and to recognize being reconciled. And I want to pray and I want to ask for God to open up our minds and our hearts, but I want to ask you to really let the Holy Spirit cut into areas in your life that you need him to, whether you want him to or not. I've got some friends right now that are struggling with things that I hope to never have to go through, but they're actually seeing Jesus in it all over the world. Stuff in Lebanon still going on, right? Stuff in Asia still going on. Stuff in Africa still going on. There's people being killed just because they're Christians. People being killed just because they're from a different tribe. And we're actually seeing that in our own country. We need reconciliation. We need to have people in harmony. And that really only happens in Jesus. And so, again, if you are somebody who gives of your life, including of your finances, right here and through here, you're blessing people all around the world. And I'm grateful for that. I hope that you would know that that is not taken lightly. And it is also between you and God. And so let's just pray and offer up this day. Jesus, you are righteous and holy in every single way. And that is way different than us. We're being made righteous and holy. And we have become your righteousness because of you becoming our sin. But Lord, we need you. We need your help. I ask God this morning that you would help not only focus me and all of us in, but that we would know your word more. We would know you more. We would know others more, and we would know ourselves more, and we would live it out. It's like we were talking about in communion, that we wouldn't just be studying the Bible. We would be living out the Bible and doing what we've read. And I pray that again, especially as we get into Philemon yet again today. Holy Spirit, thanks for writing this for us. Pray for eyes to see it and ears to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you know we called it reconciled, and there's a lot of stuff we looked at last week. I encourage you to go back and watch that or listen to that again or for the first time if you weren't here. But reconciliation is a big deal to God, and there's so much about it. You just even look in Romans 12 like we talked about in communion. He wants us to overcome evil with good. And we get to overcome hardships and being offended by being people who lay down our lives, lay down our rights, by standing up for what's right at the same time. And I know that just seems so contradictory, counterintuitive. Laying down your life to be able to pick it up, well, that was modeled by Jesus, for goodness sake. And so what we looked at is that there's three roles that we're always going to play in this world when it comes to reconciliation, being restored, being settled, settling accounts, right? Bringing people together, allowing people to do something that was an unwelcome thing, and that would be forgiveness or laying down their lives or helping one another understand one another. And those three roles are this: mediator, which we looked at last week, the Apostle Paul, right? Writing from prison, where he's imprisoned for telling the good news of Jesus Christ, where previously he used to try to put people in prison, right? Put people in prison that were Christians. And now he's in prison for being a Christian. And so he wrote this letter to his friend Philemon, and we're going to unpack it again. But Philemon was the one that was offended. And then there was an offender in this story, and his name was Onesimus. And so we're going to look today in Philemon. And so crack that open. It's a small little letter with a huge message, right? A long message. We're talking about it 2,000 years later. And it was a personal message that was going to have a public audience. And Philemon's response was going to be publicly witnessed. And so we're going to look at Philemon and how he was addressed and how he had the opportunity to go from being offended to being somebody that would be reconciled to his offender. And so let's do that. We're going to get into Philemon. It's 1 through 25. I'm going to read all of it. I hope this isn't when you click out. Hang in there with us. It's God's word. It's counterintuitive. It's countercultural. And in some ways, it's even unfair that we would be asked to lay down our lives. But Jesus is the king of knowing all of what we need before we even ask. And he knows that we need to lay down our lives. So check it out. Philemon, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Now again, might be that they all were of the same family. Now Apphia was probably his wife, Philemon's wife, and Archippus might have been their son. For sure though, they had a church in their house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. I love this part that Paul talks about. I didn't talk about this last week, but he gets much joy from how this man, Philemon, loves other people, not just himself. And how he loves other people, not just loving Paul. And so this is really, really good. You could be excited about the things that excite God. Now, accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what's required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he's indeed useful to you and me. Useful. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. Like, I enjoyed having him, but I'm sending him back to you. I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant or slave, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he's wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you'll do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. All right, again, here's this personal letter. And it's written very, very personally, like a heartfelt brother to brother, maybe even spiritual father to spiritual son, just crying out to him and asking him to reconcile with Onesimus, who is a bondservant, a slave. And I know that that's just this critical thing. And we look at slavery and it's so horrendous. This right here doesn't say that it's right or wrong. It's saying what was happening. This man, Philemon, had servants, had bond servants, had slaves. He was rich, big enough house to have a church in it. Not quite like big like this building, but you know what I'm saying. He had stuff. And he had people that were indentured servants or slaves. And one of them was Onesimus, and Onesimus wronged him and then ran away. But Onesimus came to Christ. While he was either in prison or visiting this man that was in prison, Paul. And Paul sends him back with this letter to Philemon. I don't know how that went down. But when he saw him coming, was he like the prodigal son, or the prodigal father and the prodigal son? Like, oh, there's my son, I've been looking for him. There's Onesimus, I've been looking for him. You're back, you're safe. Or was he like, ooh, you're in so much trouble. And so let's just get to this question right off the bat. Why reconcile? Why? In that situation, why reconcile? Do you know that Onesimus, by law, could be imprisoned or put to death if he escaped as a slave, as a bond servant, somebody who is given over to service for the rest of his life, whether it was a debt reason or he just wanted a place to live, or he wanted food to eat, or whatever. I mean, Philemon could have saw him coming and said, you're out. What is this guy doing here? Guards, get him. Instead, we know that this letter was delivered by hand, most likely by Onesimus, and Philemon now had to deal with the contents of the letter, and he was supposed to read it to the whole entire church. So, why reconcile? When I have the right not to, when I'd rather be angry, or the people that I'm supposed to reconcile with don't deserve it or haven't earned it. Why reconcile? Today's message, for love's sake. It's right in the passage. Right in the passage, it says this in verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I could command you to reconcile. I could command you to take this guy in as your brother now, because he is in Christ. But instead, I appeal to you for love's sake. And God is love. Look, at this point, I want to say to you yet again that this is a personal message, but not private. Personal, not private. It hits you personally, but it comes out of you. Does that sound like anything you've heard before? Jesus himself in Matthew 5, right, says that you and I are a city set on a hill. Jesus in Matthew 12, 34 says, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. You and I cannot be hidden. It may be very personal between us and God, but it becomes very, very public. It's not private. And so why in the world would we reconcile in a world that doesn't want reconciliation, in a body that doesn't want reconciliation? We're just like, nope, I'm just going to fight. Look, it's simultaneously difficult and essential. Since we've been loved, we get to love. Since we've been forgiven, we get to forgive. But it's not just get to. As Christians, we are commanded to love. Yeah, but we have like a limitation. Absolutely, that's why we need Jesus. Remember 2 Corinthians? I mean, we're weak, and in our weakness, his strength is perfected. Look, I'm going to go back to a few things about love's sake, and we're going to go to Philemon 3. We're going to go 4 through 9 as well. I want to read this again. I want to unpack this a little bit with you. Then we'll go 12 through 16, and we're going to move our way through the rest of the message. And we're going to get back to this question, why reconcile? First of all, for love's sake, for the sake of love. God is love. Remember 1 John not too long ago? God is love. Not love is God. God is love. And he is displayed what that looks like. He made us. He redeems us. He wants us. Wants you. He loves you. And he also loves others. And he wants to love others through you. All right. Check this out. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. He's thankful for him, right? Let me go back to verse 3 for a second. Sorry. He says right off the bat, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to need grace. Grace isn't earned. Grace is given. Grace is needed. And then so he says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. I know you love people. I know you love them well, and I thank God for that. And I know you have faith in Jesus Christ. He's appealing to Philemon's real identity. Remember that from last week. True identity, whose you are. But he's appealing to this love. And I pray that the sharing of your faith, not keeping it to yourself, not private, but public, that it will become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. He's like tying him in, right? Like, I want good stuff for you, man. I want the full knowledge of Christ. I want people to see it. I want people to know every good thing. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love. This is the third time we hear about love already in just a few verses. So I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. You already know how to do this. Accordingly, so he ties that in, right? Because of this love and how you refresh people. Though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is right or required. By the way, required, that's a big word. Reconciliation is required? It is. And it's a great gift. And it's required of us. Okay. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. He's appealing for love's sake. Why reconcile? For love's sake. And then here he goes even further into it. Verses 12 through 16. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart, my very inside. I love Onesimus like crazy, but I'm sending him to you. He had already appealed to him, like, look, I know he's useless to you as a runaway slave, but I'm sending him back to you as a brother and as my son. I would have been glad to keep him here with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion or by being guilted into it, but of your own accord. You get to choose what to do with this. And I thought about this week, you guys. Philemon had to read this first. And maybe everybody gathered around, but maybe he just read it. Or maybe he went to his room, into his study, and like, I'm going to look at this. And then he had to bring it out. And he did bring it out, because we're reading it 2,000 plus years later. And so, for this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. He left, and it was bad. What was intended for evil, God flipped the script and made it good. Does that still happen today? Does God still use these trials, these tribulations that we're going through, and bring us to an eternal perspective? Not only do I believe so, I testify. He's done so in my life, over and over again. So many things happened to me as a kid. So many things happened to me that I did. And all the consequences. And God flipping the script over and over again. So you'd have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother. There's that word love again. Especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? Have you thought about how rad this story is? Paul is in prison and he meets a guy that knows a guy that Paul also knows. He didn't just know that guy though. Onesimus was this guy's servant, was his bondservant, was his slave, and he did something wrong and ran away. He got gone. And God found him. God never doesn't know where we're at, by the way. Never doesn't? Sorry, double negative. He always knows where you are. But he brings these people back together. Paul has now led Philemon to the Lord and Onesimus. And what a great mediator. But we get offended and Philemon was offended, but Paul's appealing on love's sake to not being offended, but to see that God redeems people and brings stories back around. And I'm praying in Jesus' name that you see that, all of you, with whatever might be going on. And we may not believe that it can happen, but God knows how to write a great story. So he says, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, which we know that he has. Oh, sorry, I'm going. Too much. Let me bring this back around. If we're looking at for love's sake, would you take a second with me to look back at something we read just a few weeks ago in 1 John? It's 1 John 4, 10 through 11. And in this 1 John passage, we find out about love. But love isn't just like love between you and God, although that's super important. But it's also love for your neighbors. It's love for yourself. This isn't just private. This is public. 1 John 4, 10 through 11 says it just like this. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment, the cooling, the reconciliation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So that got me all kinds of stoked. I started thinking like, okay, wait, God loved us first, and that motivates us to love ourselves and to love others. And this whole idea of reconciliation, there has to be people willing to be a part of this, right? There's a mediator, there's an offender, and an offended person. But there has to be this willingness. When there is a willingness, gosh, anything could happen because of who God is. Let's go to Ephesians 4:32. Maybe you understand this. Maybe you've memorized this. We're going to actually be in the book of Ephesians a bunch starting in September. And so it's a little snapshot, right? A little preview. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You guys, I don't have a lot of time this morning for it. I want to encourage you, maybe in the time that you have after this, maybe not worry about, you know, spending a bunch of time watching something else, or maybe even getting a bunch of projects done immediately. Maybe spend some time eating breakfast together and conversing, but in your own personal time, I want to encourage you to go and read Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is wonderful. So much packed in there. But we understand that there's this parable, right, of the unforgiving servant. You remember this story, and I'll unpack it for you really quick. This guy owes so much more than he could ever pay. And the king says, you owe me that money. And if not, you're going to be thrown in prison. So are your family. And he's like, no. Please, I'll pay it back. And the king actually says, you're forgiven your debt. And that guy's like, oh, thank you. And he literally goes out from that interaction, sees somebody that owes him just a few bucks, and says, pay it all back to me. You owe me. And then he says, I'll pay you back. Right? Does it sound familiar? He was just going through that. And the guy who was just forgiven goes, nope. Go to jail. And the reality is, people saw that. People are going to see how you interact. People are going to see how you deal with one another. The king heard about this and threw that first dude in prison and his family too. But before all that, Jesus told this story as a response to something that I think you and I can really relate to. Like, how much do I have to forgive? How much do I have to love? How much do I have to be like Jesus? Here's what it is. Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Peter came up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? as many as 7 times. Probably already know this, but allow me to tell you. 3 times forgiving somebody was the gold standard. The Pharisees said that. Look, forgive 3 times. After that, it's over. Peter doubles that and then adds one, has the biblical Hebrew number of perfection, number 7. How many times should I do 7, Lord? Like, I'm way up there. And Jesus said to him, I don't say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And this is profound. He's saying, from your heart, forgive. Your brother wants to be forgiven, you forgive him. So I ask you again this question. Why reconcile? We said for love's sake, but even deeper than that, for Christ's sake. My grandfather used to say for Christ's sake, and I don't think he was being honoring to God about that. But it's so crazy, right? We know that for Christ's sake is a much, much greater purpose. Why would we reconcile? Why would we forgive from our hearts 77 times or 70 times 7 or millions of times every time that we would be asked to be forgiven? I'm not. You know what? At this moment, there's so many people and I hear their voices saying, well, it's just not always that easy. I never once said it was easy. It's actually contradictory to all that seems right inside of us. I'm not asking you to go back into an abusive physical, emotional, sexual experience. I'm not saying go back and just be a piñata. I'm saying when people want to be forgiven, when people seek forgiveness, you, as a forgiven one, get to forgive. It doesn't mean you put your head on the chopping block. But friend, there is discernment here to be had. You and I, because we've been forgiven, get to forgive. You and I, for Christ's sake, get to be his people. Get to live out what this looks like. I'm going to finish with a couple things. I'm going back to Ephesians again. And this is like a passage in Ephesians 5. Again, we're going to unpack this a bunch in a few weeks. But this is one that I have to keep coming to. Ephesians 4 and 5 has been powerful for me in reconciliation. And I'll just get to it. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Why reconcile? Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine. Don't get filled up with wine. Don't try to numb yourself with drugs and alcohol. For that's debauchery. That's wild living. Instead, be filled. Be drunk, if you will, with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I mean, gosh, you're just like walking down the street whistling tunes about Jesus and how awesome he is. Interacting with people, singing hymns and spiritual songs to one another. That sounds really weird and goofy and kind of wonderful. Are you willing to have a heart that knows how much you've been loved? So that just flows out of you? Keep focusing there. Jesus is your Savior, your personal Lord and Savior, and it comes out publicly. So giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only you can make all things work, Jesus. And then finally here, verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That you would do what you do for Christ's sake, not just people. So we'll finish with the jump that I had before to Philemon 17 through 21. Philemon's, I'm giving him it's like Walmart's. All right. Philemon 17 through 21. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you'd receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. This is a shout out to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What he did for us not because of his own sin, because he didn't have any. It was for us. He paid on his account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Like, you need a motivation. Go to the fact that you have been paid for. And so when you're paying with what God has given you to pay with. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you and the Lord. He's not asking for money. He's not asking for him to give him anything exceptional personally. He's saying, give this love. Pay this to another person. Forgive Onesimus. Refresh my heart in Christ. I'm confident of your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. He just knows. He knows this guy. Remember your love. You love to refresh. Well, here's the biggest test ever, Philemon. Instead of throwing this dude in prison, instead of getting this guy killed, which he deserved, welcome him back as a brother. I was reading through the Gospel Transformation Bible. There's a lot of really cool notes in there. And this one stood out, and we're going to finish with this today. This is what the gospel does. The love of Christ flows through us onto others. You don't just hang on to it. Philemon had this wonderful opportunity, right? To use his good deeds to bring praise to the Father. Again, this is the kingdom message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it's his love, his agenda, his reconciliation, his ministry of reconciliation flowing through us to others. Jesus, I pray right now in your precious, powerful, almighty name that you would give us eyes to see where we can reconcile with others, where we can help others to reconcile, where we can forgive, where we can seek forgiveness, where we can help others to settle those accounts, to outdo one another in kindness, in goodness, in compassion. God, to be like your son, Jesus. And Lord, give us the strength to want to. As it says right here at the end, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirits. I pray in his perfect name. Amen. And don't forget the discussion questions, please. I hope those are effective. Maybe go through them throughout the week, or just do it right now with the Lord and you and your friends and family. Please continue to gather with people. And we got one more church in the parking lot, so please come and join us. Jesus loves you. I love you. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you rest.